We're going to start off way out in the space. Welcome once again to downtown from the Emera Maine Astronomy Observatory, Jordan Planetarium, all kind of cool space site, Sean Latch. Welcome again, Sean.
Great to be back.
Well, as you mentioned, a lot going on campus. A little difficult to get out today because it's move-in day.
Yeah, there's a lot. Of course, this is the main time where students start to come back to campus and get all moved into the dorms. And today was quite packed on campus, to say the least.
So you were saying off-air before we started that in addition to the great regular schedule of programs you have for September, you've got some special things for back-to-school, if you will, for students?
Yeah, this weekend, of course, on Sunday, we've added two additional programs. At 12:30, we'll be doing Expedition Reef, which takes a look at coral reefs and UMaine's marine science program. And then at 3:30, we have a show called Incoming, which takes a look at asteroid and meteorite bombardment and how that has changed our planet over time. So, yeah, sort of kicking off the beginning of the school year with some special programming in addition to, of course, tonight we have our regular August shows wrapping up with Dream to Fly at 7 o'clock and the last chance to see Coldplay, Sky Full of Stars, at 9 p.m.
One of the great things about having a facility like this at Maine, and very few universities and colleges have as nice a facility as this, is that you don't have to be a physics major or an astronomy major to get in to look at things.
Right. We do, of course, regular public shows Friday nights at 7 and then the music shows at 9 and a children's program on Sunday afternoons, but then a variety of special programs throughout the year. And one of the other things I'm always letting folks know is, of course, while astronomy is our key strength, we do a lot of other sciences. Like this month, we're doing flight. And of course, I mentioned on Sunday, we have the program about the coral reefs. So we do a lot of other sciences. And our science lecture series actually is starting up in September again as well. The first one will be September 12th. Basically, the second Thursday of the month, we'll be having these. And we always have a different speaker in. We're starting off with Sam Hess from UMaine's physics department, who is looking at biophysics and talking about light microscopy and looking at how that can be a potential cure for things like influenza, which, of course, flu season is almost upon us. So something folks might be interested in, which is a different area that we can use the dome to visualize. That's really one of the cool things about the modern planetarium is that we can visualize lots of different sciences in our facility.
Yeah, and it's only a few generations back where influenza was a major killer of people. You wipe that out, and then especially in developing nations where they don't have the access sometimes to drugs, that could be an amazing thing. And people often don't connect the sciences to one another. I've noticed this. Someone said, well, he's a physicist, he's a biologist. And my whole thing is, well, there are physicists and there are biologists, but weren't Watson and Crick physicists and biologists, and they worked together to figure things out. So I think that's really cool, the synergy between the various sciences.
Yeah, it's a great way to, you know, and that's one of the things, too. One of my favorite books, actually, is this book called Coming of Age in the Milky Way by Timothy Ferris. And this book, it takes a look at, of course, astronomy, but along the way, it ties in all the other science and how, you know, a lot of things that we use in our modern life comes from astronomy, but there are things that, you know, chemistry that was influenced by astronomy and vice versa. And in fact, using spectral analysis, which first was used by chemists, we now use in astronomy to figure out what things are made of. You know, so lots of ways that the sciences are really connected to each other. And the whole area of optics, from looking out, of course, into space, but then looking down, you know, you had Galileo with using a telescope, but Leeuwenhoek looking down at, you know, of course, into the microscopic world and finding a whole new world there, too. So both of these very important to our modern life.
The way that you're reaching out to kids, too, I think is fabulous. You know, we talk all the time about why participation in certain things are off in sports, why more people don't study this, why more people don't study that. And I think a lot of times people take up the study of something because of wonder. They wonder about
right.
it. They want to know about it. I mean, what can be more wonder about than space?
Right. Well, one of the things I tell folks is, you know, if you talk to real young children and you ask them, what they like, oftentimes, you know, the planets and dinosaurs come up. They're
yes.
things that are bigger than themselves. And so, you know, the planetarium, of course, we do have lots of school groups that come through for visits. And then, of course, we do, you know, children's programming as well. But we're sort of a place that I say that our key goal is really to inspire that next generation. And even to inspire, you know, current generations, if you will, to want to learn more about their world. You're not going to learn everything in a one-hour program, but hopefully it'll give you a good idea and some insight and maybe inspire you to go out and want to learn more, whether it be, you know, checking out a book about it or, you know, seeing some more documentaries or things of that nature. And that's really our primary thing, is to get folks inspired and excited about the topic. A lot of astronauts will tell you that as well, and other scientists say that their first experience in a sort of a what we call a non-formal or an informal science education place made a bigger difference on them and got them into the career versus the regular academic classroom per se.
Yeah, and one of the things as a creative writer and a creative writing teacher is I often get students who say they want to write science fiction. I said, well, you better know the science, because you're not going to fool people. And it's and I say to them, I think there's a greater sense of verisimilitude required in science fiction writing. And as my friend Hank Garfield and my colleague at Maine, who's a very good writer of science fiction, always says, you know, I got to believe this world. And it may not be here now, but I got to believe it could be. And
right.
And he always talks about how he studied astronomy and he studied these things. And he goes out and he can show you all the constellations and things. He's got an idea of how it works. And I wish more writers did that.
Yeah, I think that is really important, because I can tell you, as someone who enjoys science fiction, and science fiction was one of my entry points in getting excited when I was a kid into astronomy. Star Wars, you know, and some of those, and, you know, came out. You did want it to be realistic. And I can tell you, you know, of course, most people who have an interest in astronomy are, you know, they enjoy the science fiction, but they're also very critical. You know, when you have a movie like Interstellar that comes out where, let's just say some of the parts weren't so realistic, you know, or gravity, you know, there's where gravity really didn't work the way gravity does in space. You know, of course, the folks who know the science are going to, you know, definitely hammer on it, you might say, in that regard. So it is important to know that science. And it does, like you say, it makes it believable.
Well, I'm so looking forward to, I don't teach this semester, so I'm looking forward to getting up at times of the day when you have cool things going on, which I won't be in class. If there's any one particular event for this that nobody should miss this September, what is it?
Oh, boy, that's hard. One event that they shouldn't miss. Well, we have, of course, a variety of things happening for, I would say, Friends and Family Weekend, of course, because we're going to have a whole variety of some of our greatest hits, if you will, throughout this last year. So it'll be a great chance for folks to catch it up. And then our regular Friday night public program this month, of course, is on a fun topic, space aliens, the search for life in our universe. And so that program really going to take a look at both the science and science fiction, often around UFOs and things like that. UFO does not automatically mean alien, though a lot of folks think it does. So we'll go through a little bit of the debunking in sort of a fun way, but show you the science and really look at how the search for life has changed. And that is one of the big questions that we still have in astronomy. Is there intelligent life other than life here on Earth? And it's something that is kind of fun.
Yeah, that's one of the great questions. Well, Sean, as always, it's such a pleasure to have you come in. It's such a great resource for the university and for the community. And hope you have a great fall season, and we'll see you again soon.
Sounds good.